Mic check 1 2 1 2.
Lone Wolf Comedy Radio Theater. Lone Wolf Comedy Radio Theater.
Lone Wolf Comedy Radio Theater.
Lone Wolf Comedy Radio Theater.
Lone Wolf Comedy Radio Theater.
Lone Wolf Comedy Radio Theater.
Let's check in with Jim and our drive time traffic report. Jim?
Thanks, Tom. Everything's running smoothly near downtown. Expect some delays, however, on southbound I-22. Some idiot's going 35 in the right lane with his emergency flashers on. Be sure to stay tuned for updates. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Jim. That was our drive time traffic report.
It's the Frankenstein Show. This week, Frankenstein and his good friend Dracula go to the Motor Vehicle Bureau to get their driver's licenses.
8 at window number 18.
Next in line. What can I do for you today?
Yes. Good afternoon to you. My friend and I would like to get our driver's licenses, please.
You'll have to fill out this form. Name?
Frankenstein.
You mean the Frankenstein?
That is correct.
I thought you'd talk different. You know, more monstery.
Fire bad!
You know.
I get that a lot. It's a common misconception perpetrated by the Hollywood movies. In the book, you'll find I'm actually quite eloquent. Have you read it?
No, I don't think so.
You really should if you get the chance. It's a little slow starting, but it does pick up midway. Oh, and by the way, fire is bad!
I'm sure it is. And your friend here, he wants a license too?
Yes, please. Count Dracula.
Okay. Now I have a few questions for you fellas. Race?
Transylvanian.
And you, sir?
White. And some black. I think my left arm is Chinese.
Okay, and height?
5'7". Unless I turned into a bat, then I don't know. What would you say, Frankenstein? 6 inches?
6 or 7 inches.
Hair color?
Jet black.
Square.
How about eye color?
Hypnotic. And soulless.
And you?
Brown.
Brown.
And green. One of each.
Blood type?
None.
Any allergies?
Fire.
Garlic. Sunlight. Silver. Wooden stakes. Holy water, crucifixes, oh, and the shellfish.
Would either of you care to become an organ donor today?
Absolutely. Without organ donation, I would not be alive today.
Sorry, I don't really have any functioning organ.
Okay, finally, I need your ages.
27.
27 years.
27 days.
627.
Okay, fellas. That should just about do it. And if you step over there, Shirley will take your pictures.
Actually, she might have to do a drawing. I don't show up on film.
Thank you for tuning in to the Frankenstein Show. We'll see you next time.
This is Verdant Greens, the story of one family, living life, and doing things.
In our last episode, Randall Welthington was in a terrible automobile accident. He slipped into a coma after mentioning a secret to his will. But before having a chance to say what that secret was, we joined the Welthingtons at Randall's bedside in his room at Holy Tulip Hospital.
What, Father? What is the secret to your will? Please wake up and tell us. It sounded like it was important.
It's no use, Roger. The nurse said Father has slipped into a coma. He can't speak. Isn't that right, nurse?
That's right.
And how long will this coma take?
One can never say. It's a very unusual condition.
I've just spoken with Marty Rose, our family attorney. He's on his way over. He says in the meantime, Father's assets will be tied up in probate. That is, unless anyone here has the power of attorney.
Nope.
Nuh-uh.
Nope.
Me neither. Perhaps this has something to do with the secret about his will Father spoke of.
Perhaps.
With his assets frozen, this will put a freeze on all the new family business activities, including the big deal with Globalcorp we've been working on.
You're right, Wallace. For now, we're going to have to pull the plug. Not you, nurse.
Sorry.
This is terrible news. It could devastate the family empire. How are we going to tell her?
Who? The nurse? I think she overheard us anyway.
I think he means mother.
Hello, children. Hello, Randall, dear. Please, don't get up. Now, what's this that you wanted to tell me? Something about the family empire?
You were listening.
I overheard.
Then you know all the activities are on hold until Father wakes up, or until Morty Rose, our family attorney, can figure out a solution.
That little shrew? Huh! My fur coat is a more competent attorney than he is. We'd be better off waiting for your beloved father to kick the bucket so he can take charge of the fortune than to wait around for that little worm to solve our problems.
I don't think that's likely to happen.
Morty.
Hello, Evelyn.
You know, you really could take a lesson from me on your dramatic entrances.
I do what I can. Be that as it may, the last thing you should hope for is Mr. Wealthington's unfortunate passing.
And why is that?
I'm not really at liberty to say.
Morty, do you know something?
Maybe. Do you?
Father said something before. Something about his will.
He said there's a secret. Please, Morty, do you know something or not?
I might. Did he say what kind of secret?
No. Please, what can you tell us?
Well, as I told you on the telephone, your father's assets are frozen and are only accessible by his legal power of attorney.
But we've already talked about this. There isn't one.
Oh, yes, there is.
Who?
Me, Vincent Kellogg.
Now that's a dramatic entrance.
Who is this mysterious stranger? Be sure to tune in next time for Verdant Greens.
Hey there, who's hungry for burritos? Then come on down to the Burrito Barn and order one of our many selections of delicious burritos. Or if you're feeling a little wild, why don't you try our new Monster Burrito? This bad boy is enormous, weighing in at a whopping 7/8 of a pound. See if you can handle it.
Why 7/8 of a pound?
Because that's what our market research says. Focus group testing tells us 0.875 pounds is the ideal size for a burrito. It's as gigantic as we can possibly make it before it crosses over into disgusting and gluttonous. At 7/8 of a pound, you'll feel like you're getting a massive burrito without feeling like a revolting slop.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So come on down to the Burrito Barn and try our new Monster Burrito. It's statistically delicious.
So I told him flat out, I'm sorry, but there isn't room in this organization for someone with your work ethic.
I don't know how you're able to manage all those people.
All right, here's your steak tartare, sir, and fettuccine alfredo for the lady.
Wow, looks delicious.
Yes, well done, thank you.
Is there anything else I can get for you?
No, I think we're good for now, thanks.
All right, enjoy your meal then.
Thank you. Jim, this is really nice. I can't believe you brought me here.
Happy anniversary, Susan.
Happy anniversary. This is wonderful.
This isn't it, you know. I have another little surprise for you.
Oh, Jim.
As you know, we've been married for 10 years, and there's something else I'd like to give you.
Oh, boy. I think I know what this is.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Okay. Open them.
Oh, Jim. What is this?
It's your annual performance review.
I thought we talked about this.
Well, I thought we'd start off with overall performance. As you know by now, you're evaluated on each category on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 is poor, 2 needs improvement, 3 average, 4 good, 5 meets or exceeds all expectations.
Jim, are you really going to go through?
Save your comments for the self-evaluation at the end. Now, in the area of companionship, you scored a 3. Which isn't bad, but in the future, I'd like to see a little bit more spontaneity with the conversation.
Could you explain that, please?
Okay. Suppose I walk in the door after a long day at work.
Okay.
Do you think I am going to want to hear about your sister's latest crisis right away? Or do you think I might have some important things to vent from my day?
I see.
Next category is domestic obligations. Here you scored a 2. Needs improvement. Specific areas I'm concerned about are furniture placement, and allocation of baked goods.
What's wrong with the furniture?
I'd like to start using a more knowledgeable consultant. The one you've delegated your responsibilities to just doesn't seem to fit our vision statement.
You mean my mother? And what was the other thing? Baked goods allocation? What is that supposed to mean?
Yes. Don't get me wrong. Your dinners have definitely shown an improvement since last year. It's very clear that you've finally begun to give it a good effort.
But
I'm finding that the desserts could use a little work.
Really?
Well, I think you've been trying to cut a few corners, and it shows. From now on, you'll probably want to discontinue using the easy or one-step desserts. I'd like to get you trained on a more from-scratch approach.
I see. What else do you have?
Just a few more things, and we can enjoy a great-looking dinner. Hang in there. You really respond well to criticism. Happy anniversary. Next is the budget. Did you have a chance to look at those figures I gave you?
No, I was too busy screwing up your dessert.
That's okay. I've got the bottom line right here. Looks like you went $752 over budget. Have you been able to account for this?
I don't know, Jim.
Don't worry. I've looked into it. Are you familiar with a store called Robertson's Department Store?
Yes, Jim. It's where we buy the children's clothes.
I see. And what about the golf shack?
Your birthday present?
Mm-hmm. And the female sole?
I bought myself a pair of shoes in October. I'm sorry.
Actually, it was early November.
Jim, I'm about done with this.
Only one more category to go. Child rearing.
Don't even.
I've noticed that Lance has been expressing an interest in figure skating. I thought I'd give you an opportunity to address this right away, but it seems you've neglected to do so. Therefore, I feel obligated to...
Jim, do you know who Lance's best friend is?
I wasn't aware of...
It's Mikey. Have you met Mikey?
Is he the one that stutters?
No, that's my sister's daughter, Emily. Mikey is the son of Gary Wells.
So... What does that have to do with...
Gary Wells has been like a father to your son for the past 2 years, and he happens to be an Olympic silver medal winning figure skater. So no, I'm not surprised that Lance has taken an interest in figure skating, because he idolizes that man.
Silver medal.
Jim, this is over. I'm going to finish my dinner, you're going to drive me home, and I'm going to call my lawyer. And by God, I hope you've learned something here tonight.
Susan? I'm sorry, you're right. I have learned something.
Oh?
Yes. Those children are so young. So impressionable. I think we need to start doing semi-annual performance evaluations for them.
I'm leaving.
Susan, wait.
What?
Aren't you curious how many roses you earned this year?
Check, please.
We now return to the 2006 Asbury National Bingo Championship. Agnes Warner is currently in the lead with 3 corners and a half row. Play continues in the 4th round as we return to the floor where today's caller is none other than Marcus Weatherby.
O-42. O-42. I-16. I-16. N-23. N-23.
We will return now to our regularly scheduled programming. This broadcast will be resumed as further developments take place. Thank you.
This is Verdant Greens, the story of one family living life and doing things.
In our last episode, Vincent Kellogg, the mysterious stranger, made a dramatic appearance into an already crowded hospital room. We now rejoin the Wealthington family as they attempt to figure out the secret to comatose Randall Wealthington's will.
Roger, may I speak to you in private?
Sure. Let's go over here by the unoccupied hospital bed.
Good idea. I'll just pull this curtain closed.
All right. What is it?
This is turning into quite a situation. I just wanted to get your take on things.
Hey, don't forget about me, your baby sister.
Sorry, Mary. I guess we got a little overwhelmed. We forgot to invite you along. Of course you're welcome to join us.
Of course. We were just trying to sort all this out and come up with a...
Now, children, you mustn't forget to include your dear old mother in this little powwow of yours.
Mother, we were hoping to have a minute to...
I'm sorry, but visiting hours are over.
Did anyone see a vending machine on this floor? I'm all out of lozenges.
Gee, it's getting a little crowded in here.
I think you're right. Why don't we try this somewhere else?
Yeah.
Mary, Wallace and I are going to... Mary!
Over here!
Wallace and I are...
Can't hear you. I'm coming over. Excuse me. Coming through. Okay, what now?
It's a little crowded in here for a family talk. Wallace and I have decided to try it somewhere else.
Okay, let's go back to my penthouse. It's just down the road.
Okay, let's get going. Then we can sort this whole thing out.
Everyone, your attention, please. We're gonna leave for a short spell to discuss these recent events. We'll be back very soon. About an hour. Well, maybe an hour and a half. I don't know how traffic is.
Okay, let's go.
Hey, wait.
Oh, sorry. What is it?
Don't you want me to try to tell you why a mysterious stranger such as myself, Vincent Kellogg, would make such a dramatic entrance? And why a mysterious stranger would claim your father's power of attorney?
Oh, sure. I guess so.
I am your father's illegitimate firstborn. He has been secretly supporting me and grooming me as his heir.
Yeah, I figured it was something like that.
Yeah. So...
Well, it was nice to meet you.
Same here. Just to be clear, I was the secret in Father's will.
Oh, yes. We put that together.
Oh, right. Well, okay then. You know, I always...
Would you like to come with us, Vincent? You're as much involved in this as we are.
You wouldn't mind?
Not at all.
Nope.
It's settled then. We'll go have hot chocolate at my house and sort out the future of the Wealthington family.
You know, I make a mean hot chocolate. It's my mother's recipe. It's got a secret ingredient.
Is it mint?
No.
Be sure to join us next time as the Wealthington Kellogg children begin construction on the future of their family. Will we ever find out the secret ingredient to Vincent's hot chocolate recipe? Tune in next time to find out.
Hello, lost and found. How may I help you?
Hi. Did you happen to find a set of keys earlier today? I brought my kid there for his birthday, and they must have gotten lost in the ball pit.
You're too big for the ball pit.
I know. I didn't go in. Just my keys. I threw them.
You threw your keys in the ball pit? Why?
I had to get my son's attention. It gets pretty loud over there, you know.
What was so important that you had to throw your keys?
I had a meeting. He does this every time. I say 20 minutes in the ball pit, then Daddy has to take you home. But once he gets in there, well, you know how kids are. He knows very well I can't go in after him.
So did you get his attention?
Huh?
When you threw your keys?
Oh, no. I got him in the temple.
And that didn't get his attention?
No, it knocked him out. Oh, by the way, did you happen to find a 9-year-old boy in the ball pit earlier today?
You left your unconscious son in the ball pit?
I'm pretty sure. I could describe him if you like.
Sir, I'm calling the police.
Oh, really? That's not necessary. I'm pretty sure he is in the ball pit.
Pumpkin Patch Audio Publishing presents The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. Copyright 1982 by Pumpkin Patch Audio Publishing. Book 1. Chapter 1. The Eve of the War. No one would have believed in the last days of the 19th century that the world was being watched keenly and closely by intelligences greater than man's and yet as mortal as his own. That as men busied themselves about their various concern, they were scrutinized and studied.
Jim, sorry, I'm gonna have to stop you. I could hear the last page turn.
Oh, you could?
Yeah.
Sorry, Harry.
It's all right. Just keep going. I can cut that part out whenever you're ready.
As narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water, with infinite complacency, men went to and fro over this globe about their little affairs. serene in their assurance of their empire over matter.
Jim, I have to stop you again. Those page turns are still coming through.
Is that really a big deal?
It kind of is, Jim. It's really distracting for the listener when he's trying to immerse himself in the story and he keeps hearing page turns. It really interrupts the fantasy. If you could, maybe just turn the pages not so fast.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Whenever you're ready.
It is possible that the infusoria under the microscope do the same. No one gave a thought to the older worlds of space as sources of human danger, or thought of them only to dismiss the idea.
What are you doing, Jim?
Don't tell me you heard the page turn. I was very careful not to turn too quickly.
No, I didn't hear it, but I didn't hear anything for a good 8 seconds. We can't have gaps, Jim. The reader shouldn't be able to tell where the page turns are. Maybe try not to hold the book right in front of the microphone like that.
That's where my eyes are, Harry. My mouth is in front of the mic, so the book is in front of the mic. It's a package deal.
Well, why don't you set the book on that music stand? That's what it's there for.
All right. Let me put on my reading glasses.
Whenever you're ready.
Only to dismiss the idea of life open, them, as, impossible, some of, mental, underpants.
Having trouble reading, Jim?
You could tell?
Just barely, although underpants did confirm it. Tell you what, can you read this paper I'm holding up to the glass?
Sure, it says... Jim, you're fired. Get your things and be out of the building in 10 minutes.
This is Verdant Greens, the story of one family living life and doing things.
We rejoin Mary, Wallace, and Roger at Mary Wellington's penthouse. They are accompanied by Vincent Kellogg, their newly discovered half-brother. They are discussing the future of their family business over hot chocolate that Vincent was kind enough to prepare using a secret ingredient.
Hey, this is great hot chocolate, Vincent.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah, that secret ingredient really brings it to life. What is it? Nutmeg?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, like I said, it's my mother's recipe.
Yeah. Hey, who is your mother anyway? It's Alice Washington, the woman who was kidnapped by evil monster Walter Smirnoff, isn't it?
No.
No, it had to have been his old secretary. You know, the one that went crazy and gave birth to twins after being institutionalized, then one of the twins disappeared, and it's you!
No.
Wait, I've got it! Guys, remember a few years back when we found out Father had had a mistress?
Oh, yeah. What was her name?
Eunice Perot, remember? She was the one who was flushed out of the Witness Protection Program, only to be held captive on a desert island. It was her, wasn't it?
No, I'm sorry. Besides, my last name is Kellogg, remember? You said that lady's name is Perot.
Oh, right. It's Rita Kellogg, then. Father's number one business rival. Heirs to the Camden Hotel chain.
Of course! It makes perfect sense!
I'm afraid not, although that would be more interesting.
Well, who is it then?
Yeah, who is your mother?
Oh, she lives in Toledo. You wouldn't know her.
Oh.
Her name's Jenny.
Sure.
She got a package from the KGB once.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, really? What was it?
Don't know. It was a mistake down at the post office. She sent it back without opening it.
Oh.
She's a wonderful lady. You'd all really like her.
I'm sure, Vincent. We look forward to meeting her someday. Don't we, Roger?
Yes, absolutely.
So, nutmeg, huh?
Yep.
It's good.
Yeah.
You ever try a cinnamon stick?
Sure, yeah, that's good too.
Yeah, it's good with cinnamon.
And so, it seems things are moving a little slowly at Mary's penthouse. While we give them some time to get acquainted, let's check back in at Holy Tulip Hospital with Mr. and Mrs. Wellington, the nurse, and Morty Rose, the family attorney.
Honestly, Mortimer, I don't see why you can't tell me who that young man was, and why he is Randall's power of attorney.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Wealthington, but that's privileged information.
Privileged, my eye! If I sign your checks, then I have a right to that information, and I'll get it out of you one way or another.
Are you threatening me?
Take it however you want it, you little toad.
You don't scare me. I have the law on my side.
And which side would that be?
The side of right.
Oh, because on your left side is my headlock.
That doesn't even make sense.
Ow.
Let go. You're hurting me.
You better start talking, Toady.
Ow. Help. Nurse. Help me.
What's going on over here? Mrs. Wealthington, stop this immediately. Code blue.
You stay out of this, nurse hussy.
I certainly will not.
Get off of me, you heifer.
Run, Morty, run!
And so, the nurse overtakes Mrs. Wealthington, freeing Mr. Rose to run to safety. But how long will Nurse Crumpet be able to subdue her? Tune in next time to find out.
This has been Verdant Greens. We'll see you next time.
Tobias. Hey.
We're not supposed to be talking.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen.
Shh, we're gonna get in trouble.
Well, I hear you talking in my formation.
No, sir!
That's what I thought.
Tobias, how much longer are we gonna be marching? My feet hurt.
You're gonna get us both in trouble.
Company, halt! Who is talking in my formation? What's the matter, blabbermouth? Cat got your tongue? Somebody better answer right now, or we're gonna be doing push-ups until you sorry sacks of dirt pack this dirt into very well-packed dirt. Still nothing? I will stand here and spout off poorly formulated metaphors of how useless you people are until...
Sir, it was me, sir!
Jones, what's your problem?
I was the one who was talking, sir!
Why are you talking?
I was asking Tobias how much longer we're going to march, sir!
And what did Tobias say?
He didn't know, sir!
You know why that is? Because I didn't tell him. Do you have a problem with our march today, Jones?
Honestly?
By all means, Jones. I hate for you to bottle up your feelings.
I just don't see the point of doing this. The marching, the cadence.
The cadence, if you must know, is what keeps us marching together as a unit, Jones. You have a problem with conformity all of a sudden?
No, sir. Nothing like that.
Then for the love of God, Jones, what is your problem with this march?
Well, I mean, I get the importance of drilling for sure. But when we're all marching and shouting cadences, you know, during a battle, in enemy territory, doesn't that take away from the whole... I thought we wanted to be sneaky.
This is war, son!
Exactly. I feel like marching down the middle of the street and chanting in unison is a really good way to get shot at.
Getting shot at is part of war, son! Would you like to file any other complaints while we're just standing here getting shot at?
Actually, yeah. Why are we going in first? We're not even infantry unit.
War is hell, son! Most of this isn't gonna make any sense to you, but you have to trust that this is all part of the bigger picture. So if we're the first unit in, by God, we're the first unit in.
Sir, we're a marching band.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. But orders are orders, right?
See, that's the other thing. We're not even soldiers. What good could possibly come from sending a municipal marching band into combat?
From my understanding, psychological warfare. There's only so much John Philip Sousa a man can hear before raising a white flag. So what do you say, Jones? Do it for your country.
All right, for my country. Besides, if I had to do one more godforsaken 4th of July parade this year, I'd kill somebody.
That's the spirit. Company, march! Pump, pump, break, pump!
This show was made possible by
Tim Higgins,
Joshua Ballou,
Casey Michelson,
Sean Shelnut,
Tim Hunter,
Andy Bolton,
Christopher Schmidt,
Eric Coconis.
Music by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com.
Ernie Tam,
Frankie,
James Boland,
Jamie Ansley,
Tyler Menz,
Suze Bischoff,
Will Kulowitz,
Nick Fearer,
Angie Campbell,
and Ryan Lowe. Thank you for listening. For more information, visit lonewolfcomedy.com.